for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a 2019 annual ladies conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 16th, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on bitter judgment.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Father, we thank you and praise you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that you are such a great God. You are our King, our refuge, our fortress, our God, our deliverer, our Savior, our all in all, our healer, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we commit this time to you, and we ask that you will establish my thoughts. I pray, Lord, that my words will be like goads, like wilderness nails, Lord, given by you, Lord, the shepherd. Lord, I pray that every life here will be changed, that every person will go home different, including myself. In Jesus' name, we pray for signs and wonders to accompany the teaching of your word. Father, we ask your ministering angels to be here to minister whatever kind of holy angel we need. Lord, we seal this room off by the blood of Jesus. We ask you for a special covering of warrior angels over us to boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment sent against us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or this meeting in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that you'll touch every life. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, Christ in me, the hope of glory, flow out and heal and touch each person in Jesus' name. How many of you know that if to change others, you have to first change yourself?
Yes.
It really works. You know, a person with a religious spirit, they just deal with the outward appearance. They don't deal with the heart issues. But when you deal with your heart issues and you deal with what we're talking about today or any sin in your life, say you have a turkey in your face, somebody that is a turkey in your life, and we all have them, right? Or I'm the only one that has them. But you know what? When you deal with your stuff, you'll change for sure. They may or may not change, but because God's done a work in your heart, you don't even care if they change. You see, the reason these turkeys are bothering you, God's trying to show you yourself. And so to change your mate, how many of you are married? Quite a few. How many of you have been married and not married now? How many of you that are not married have a job? Or pastor? I'm going to teach today, I'm going to trust the Lord's going to teach it, the bitter judgments really work through authority, wherever that is. A bitter judgment, it's a judgment you make on somebody and you let the sun go down on it and you don't deal with it. A bitter judgment becomes a bitter root down in your heart. Matthew 7 says, judge not lest you be judged, and by your standard of measure it's measured back to you. It goes on to say, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly how to take the speck out of someone else's eye. This is one of the causes of floaters in your eyes. Years ago, I was teaching a seminar, and a girl came up to me, and she said, I got something in my eye. And I said, have you ever judged anybody? And she said, my mother. And I said, well, who does your mother remind you of? She said, my mother-in-law. I led her to repent, broke soul ties, and she went, oh, it's gone. So years ago, the Lord told me that the logs in your eyes were floaters. And so one year I was here at Lake Hamilton, and I was getting ready to teach. Well, when the Lord started showing me this, I started repenting. One day I repented of people I judged all the way from my house in Lindale, Texas, all the way here. I spent the whole time repenting of people I judged, probably everybody in the world. But anyway, I was here at Lake Hamilton getting ready to teach, and a black speck went across my eye. And I said, Lord, who is that? Oh, the Lord said, take the log out of your eye and then you'll see clearly. And I said, well, Lord, who is that? And the Lord showed me who I judged. So I repented, broke soul ties, and it left. And so it's been a process. Occasionally when I'll have a speck come in my eye, I say, okay, Lord, who is that? And I'll deal with it, and it's gone. And so you don't have to have floaters, but you got to get the logs out of your eyes so you can see clearly, right? I'm working on seeing clearly, okay? Praise God. And so God tells us not to judge. A bitter judgment is an area of my life where I've made a judgment and I've let the sun go down on it. And it's the main cause of recurring patterns and problems in my life. It's the main cause of marital problems. In fact, it's the cause, I believe, 90% of the time of why marriages don't work is because of the judgments we make on our mothers and fathers. It really starts with the judgments we make on our mothers and fathers. And what happens is we make a judgment on our parents, or basically this applies any time a parent violates the law of God in training us up. Unconsciously or consciously, we make a promise. If we don't go to God, we turn to something else, which is becomes a false god, becomes a bitter root down in my heart, which becomes a button pusher in my life. Every place you have a button pusher, and I said this morning, it's attached to an idol, a place where you let the sun go down on your anger. And can I tell you, those button pushers that you have in your life are not acceptable to God? That's something you have to overcome. There was a time in my life when I had a lot of button pushers, and God has worked in my life. Because when I have one, I say, okay, Lord, how did I get there? What do you want me to do about it? How do I get there? And it was a place that I turned to a promise I made myself to protect my heart. The little children don't know they can go to God, so unconsciously they'll turn to something else because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. You know, if our mother and father don't love us, unconsciously we don't think God loves us. If our mother and daddy didn't protect us, unconsciously we don't think God protects us. We know His Word says He does, but unconsciously our heart says, yeah, I know, He's just like Mom and Dad. If your mother and daddy lied to you, then you believe a lie that God's a liar. So it's hard for you to believe His Word. If daddy and mother never could get victory over anything, it's hard for you to go to God now because you think, well, God can't do anything about it. It's just the way we live. But God doesn't want you to live in trauma. He doesn't want you to live tormented. He wants you to live in total peace. In fact, the scripture says in Ezekiel 34 that we can sleep in the wilderness, which is a place of unpredictableness, and be safe. He gives a covenant of peace to His children. Years ago, I told a girl who'd come out of Satanism, who'd been satanically, richly abused, grew up in a family of Satanists, generations of Satanists, I said, do you feel peace? And she said, what's that? She didn't even know what peace was because she'd never experienced it one day in her life. But God says He'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him because you're trusting in Him. But bitter judgments are the driving force behind recurring problems, patterns of trouble, and destruction in our lives. Bitter roots bring about bitter fruit. Good roots bring about good fruit. It brings about the best in other people, and it also brings blessings to other people. And so when you have good fruit, it blesses people. When you and I judge, we set in motion forces that cause us to reap in kind the very thing we judge, especially when you judge your mother and father. God says, the eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother shall be plucked out by the ravens of the valley. That's one of the main roots to eye problems. The scripture says that when we curse our mother and father, it opens us up to a spirit of death. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother that all may be well with you, and your days will be long upon the earth. So there's two promises there, a long life and life will go well. You know, I could stop this meeting right now and have you stand up and say, where is your life not going well with your mate, with your boss? Where is your life not going well? And you could trace it back to the breaking of that commandment. And honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to support their drug habit. It doesn't mean you have to live with them. But it does mean that you have to provide for them, whatever that means. It means that you forgive them by sundown. And wherever we fail to forgive our parents by sundown, we've got a button pusher, we've got a bitter judgment in our heart, and we've got a place where our life is not going well. And so, for example, I may promise myself when I grow up and I look at my daddy and I don't like what I'm seeing, so I promise myself I'll never marry one like him. And that becomes a false god. Well, guess what? How many of you know that are married, those of you who are married, that you're 99% of the time you're living with your mother or father? What's pushing your button about the other one goes back to mother-daddy issues. I wish I'd have known this when I was married. I thought it was the turkey I was living with. I didn't realize that it was he was mirroring something I hadn't forgiven my mother and father for. I used to get so mad at him because he wouldn't go to a marriage counselor and he'd say, I already know more than I can do right now. And he wouldn't go and I'd get mad at him. But what I've discovered that in a marriage seminar, they're good because you discover what you need to do. Wives, submit yourself as unto your husband, and husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. But we go to these seminars and we come back and we beat each other over the head with scriptures. You just need to love me like Christ loved the church. Well, you need to quit being a domineering, controlling woman. Anyway, bitter judgments is behind. The judgments we make on our parents is behind problems in our relationships, problems at jobs. You know, sometimes a person will say, you know, my boss just doesn't treat me. He doesn't appreciate me. Well, I can tell you when that happens, that goes back to mother and daddy. I can say 100% of the time, neither did your mother and daddy, did they? No, they didn't. And so, problems with your boss can be dealt with if you go back to forgiving your mother and father. You'll change. They may change. They may not change, but you won't even care because God lets people trigger what he wants to fix in us next. And if you don't hear anything else, if you're married, deal with your stuff. And then let me tell you something. You won't even care what your husband does. And so, so when we judge, we set in motion forces that cause us to reap in kind what we've judged and what we've sown. And Jesus tells us to judge a tree by the kind of fruit it bears. Didn't he say that? And then he's telling us in Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. And then another place he says, judge with righteous judgment. So what's the difference between righteous judgment and unrighteous judgment? Unrighteous judgment is when I want to kick somebody to the curb. I want to criticize them. I don't pray for them. I just, want to cut them to the ground. In fact, Jesus said good trees produce good fruit. So when I want to cut the tree down with an axe or whatever, that's an unrighteous judgment. But a righteous judgment is, for example, if you start being bothered by something someone's doing, or you're getting irritated, first of all, you need to be grateful. But the next thing you need to do is to start praying for that person. A righteous judgment is when you see things, God wants you to see it. He wants you to have discernment. You know, a critical spirit is a misguided gift of discernment. God lets you see things because he wants you to pray. So it's what you do with what you see that determines if it's going to be a righteous judgment or an unrighteous judgment. James 2:13 says, judgment is merciless to him who shows no mercy. Have you been a merciful person? Matthew 5 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The purer your heart is, the more clear you're going to have a clear picture of God. Bitterroot judgments are perhaps the most powerful negative force bringing about destruction in our lives and in the lives of others. They're the most common basic sin in all marital relationships. They're the root of why you have problems in your marriage. And most people don't even know that. They think, get another husband. Those of you who've had more than one husband can say you just jump out of the frying pan into the fire because it gets bigger and worse. Uh-oh. And like I said this morning, the grass is greener over the septic tank. If you don't deal with your issues with your mate now or your boss now, getting another one's not the answer, because you've got the same bitter judgments working in you, and you're drawn to people, and people are drawn to you that are best able to fulfill your reaping process. And that's in relationships and friendships with your bosses. Proverbs 11:18 says, "He who sows righteousness gets a true reward." The law of judgment not only applies to our conscious actions, but also to our unconscious actions. Not only does it apply to our conscious actions known and performed outwardly, but it also applies to what's been lodged down in our heart, what we've repressed, what we don't know, and what we haven't even expressed it. You know, what's down in our heart, there's so many things that have happened to us over our lifetime. We're born with demons. We're born with bitter root judgments. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children through the third and fourth generation. You're born with stuff. There's stuff implanted in your spiritual garden or in your heart, or the scripture says in your treasure. It's been buried there because of the judgments you made on your parents, because of things that you've done and haven't repented of, things that people have done to you and you haven't forgiven them for. There's stuff been stored, lots of stuff been stored down in your heart. You know, I can tell you right now, Jesus is Lord of my life, and I've dealt with everything I know to, but tomorrow he's going to show me something else. And you can change from glory to glory to glory. And the more you change, the more you repent, the healthier you're going to get, the better you're going to feel, the stronger you're going to be, and you're going to change from glory to glory. So living a lifestyle of repentance pays off in the end. You can see people whose lives are devastated because they don't repent. So it not only it also applies to what's been lodged down in our heart, what we've repressed, what we've not even expressed. Once formed, a judgment must bring results, and since the law of God, according to Romans 1, is written in our heart, it also applies to parents not training us up in the way we should go. You know, God tells us, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So wherever your parents violated the law of God in training you up, there's an automatic anger issue, which is an automatic button pusher. And God has taught me over the years to deal with my button pushers. In fact, did you know that you cannot tolerate fear in your life if you're going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus? And you say, "Well, I'm not fearful, I'm just cautious." Well, garbage, it's the same thing. Just like saying, "I'm not bitter, I'm just resentful." What's the difference? Nothing. Anyway, every fear in your life has to be dealt with if you're going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Everything that makes you angry has to be dealt with. Every person you're not forgiving, you have to forgive, or you won't be forgiven. You won't even go to heaven if you don't forgive. And that's a sobering thought. You say, "Oh, no, well, you know, I'm saved by grace." Well, yes, we are saved by grace, but God says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I need forgiveness. I don't want to be turned over to the tormentors. If somebody hurts me, makes me angry, or hurts me, and I've got till sundown to deal with it, and if I don't, I go to sleep, the next day it's unforgiveness, and the next day it's bitterness. So it applies when a parent violates the law of God in training us up. An example of an unconscious judgment was when I was a little girl, my daddy's mother and my mother did not like each other. And I remember one day making a determination. It was an unconscious thing. I didn't realize it till years later. But I made a judgment that when I have a daughter-in-law, we're going to have a perfect relationship. Well, I can tell you it's been rocky, because the Word of God says that there's nothing harder than a relationship with a daughter and a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And also it says your enemies will be of your own household. Daughters will turn against mothers, and fathers against sons, and et cetera, et cetera. Daughter-in-laws against mother-in-laws. Why is that? Because he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. He uses these turkeys in our lives to show us ourselves. And when God showed me that things that bothered me, that had bothered me about my daughter-in-law, she just took up where I left off. God is showing me myself. If something bothers me, I'm saying, the Lord said, you did it too. And then the heat's off the daughter-in-law and it's on you. And so the way we heal relationships is to deal with our stuff. You know, you're not going to change your husband. You're not going to change your boss, but you can change yourself. And it's so sad for me to see there's very few happy marriages. Randy and Callie have a happy marriage. Kevin and if you can catch Kevin and Patty kissing each other every now and then. Anyway, God wants you to have a blessed marriage. And I had 27 years of misery because I didn't apply these principles. But I'm telling you, the people I know that apply these principles have a good marriage. Another is Jim and Alberta Landry. They have great marriage because they deal with their stuff. But there's very few happy marriages because these bitter judgments are working in the husband and the wife. They're triggering each other. He thinks that she's the turkey and she thinks he's the turkey. And you know, when you're going together, the demons push you this way to try to get you into sexual sin. And then when you get married, the demons push you this way to try to cause division. And that's sad. God doesn't want that. You know, I'm not married and I'm not looking for a husband, but I see everything I've done wrong. The things that grieve my heart right now, when I see a wife dominating the husband, or I see a husband dominating the wife, or I see them speaking little jags at each other or little digs at each other, that grieves my heart. You know why it grieves my heart? Because they're mirroring what I did. And so I can tell you as an older woman, don't do that. Wives, cherish your husbands. Appreciate them. The only thing a husband wants is to be appreciated and to be respected. And wives, you don't respect your husbands for the most part. And that's why you have trouble. And that's why they take off with their secretary. Oh, Mr. So-and-so, can I get you some coffee? Oh, can I do this for you? That's why they get attracted. They go home and the wife says, you're late. What you doing in here? Blah, blah, blah. Don't be a nag either. The Bible says it's better to live in the corner of an attic than with a contentious woman. And men can be contentious too. Men can be Jezebels too. If you want to know a perfect example of a Jezebel man, would be Archie Bunker on All in the Family. And she was a perfect example of an Ahab. But mostly it's women that have the Jezebel. And so the unconscious judgment that I made, and I didn't even realize I'm making an unconscious judgment, is that when I have a daughter-in-law, we're going to have a perfect relationship. We're going to be best friends. And my grandmother said to my mother one day, she said, your mother doesn't love you. She said this right in front of my mother. She said, your mother doesn't love you. And my mother said, and I said, yes, she does. And she said, if she loved you, she would spank you. My grandmother had 9 sons, and my daddy said, she said at one time, and if you didn't listen, she got a broom handle up against her. You got a broom handle around your neck. Anyway, you think that I enjoyed not getting spanked. But that was another judgment I made on my mother. My mother never spanked me in my whole life. She hit me once with a clothes hanger and made me mad as a hornet. You know, when you just swat a kid, you're just making them mad. You need to get the message over. So unconsciously, I made a judgment that when I have kids, they're going to get disciplined. And I did discipline my son. And even my son that died of AIDS, he respected me. And he loved me. And sometimes you judge your parents thinking you're going to do a better job than they did, and you find out they did a better job than you did. Those judgments. And so I said to my mother, and I was probably 60 years old when I said this, I said, Mother, why didn't you, when after I learned all this, I said, Mother, why didn't you spank me when I was growing up? She said, I could have killed you and it wouldn't have done any good. Anyway, I really always wanted to obey my parents. I really did. I really was, believe it or not, obedient. Anyway, examples, that would be an example of unconscious judgment, but an example of a conscious judgment was, you know, my daddy was an alcoholic, he was a drunk, he wasn't there, he was irresponsible, my mother was a controller, blah, blah, blah. Obvious things that you know. There's unconscious things that happen that you turn to a false god, that vow becomes a false god you turn to, and a vow's like a train track. You may want to go this way, but you have to go the way of the vow. And wherever you made a vow, that's a false god. And wherever you've got a false god, you've got a button pusher, you've got sore places down in your heart, you've got bitterness, you've got anger, you've got depression. All these things go around every idol. There's thousands of demons that go around every idol. The power of bitter root judgments comes from the unchangeable laws of God that tells us that we reap in kind what we've sown. Once formed, judgments must bring results. Bitter root judgments, not brought to the cross, set in motion a reaping process. And what I mean by bringing it to the cross is to find out how it got there, why you're feeling this way, how it got there, take it to the cross, deal with it, confess your sin, ask God to forgive you, and do whatever the Lord shows you to do. That's bringing it to the cross. And because all of those vows become false gods, the only way you can lay them down is to take them up the mountain. There may be other ways, but that's how I release my idols to the Lord. Lord, you hear what so-and-so's doing to me? God, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me. You're bound. And that works. God taught me this when my youngest son, who lived a homosexual lifestyle, I just watched a crack commercial, and I was driving along, and the devil said, "What if he takes crack?" And I went, "What if he takes crack?" And then the Spirit of God just took me over, and I said, "Lord, if that's the only way he can know you is to take crack, I ask you in the name of Jesus, give him crack. But devil, you can't give it to him." He never did get addicted to crack, or never did. He might have done it, but he didn't. He wasn't addicted. Another time, and I'm sharing things of times that I've made things an idol. You know, if there's not fear and there's not anger and there's not hurt and there's not depression, which all of that's tied in with idolatry, because 1 Samuel 15:23 says that iniquity is as of which rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. And so if those idolatrous things aren't there, you just have not because you ask not. But when those things are there, you can take it up the mountain. And if you're living for God's glory, that's good news. But if you're not living for God's glory, that's not good news. But it's a way you give up your life that you might find it. It says in John 12, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." So we have to die to be fruitful. We have to die to ourselves to be fruitful. Another time, my youngest son, who's been here on the prayer team and been here at Lake Hamilton in the past, he was going to, after he graduated from the University of Texas, he was going to join the Marines, which is an honorable thing to want to be serving your country. But it was at a time that I knew he was called to preach. And so I grieved for about 3 months over him going to join the Marines. I talked to him about it, and he was determined, and I worried for like 3 months. And finally, one day, I said, "Lord, in Jesus' name, if it glorify you the most for David to be put in the Marines, I ask you in the name of Jesus, put him in the Marines. But devil, you won't put him there." Within 2 or 3 months, he had he injured his knee, and that ended his military career. Another time, my oldest son, who's now my pastor, was going to move up to Maine. And it grieved me because he lived close and I was close to my grandbabies when they were little. But I said, "Lord, all I ask is that you put Kyle wherever he can love you the most. If I never see him again, I give him to you." And now he lives 300 yards from me and he's my pastor. And so you have to give up. And this works with her. You know, I have a granddaughter that I absolutely idolized her whole life, and that was a problem. When you make an idol out of a person, they'll turn on you every time. Every time. God says, "You'll have no other gods before me." And I know at some point in time I'm going to have a great relationship with her, but the other day it occurred to me, if God only put me in her life to be the person that's prayed for, she's 30 years old and I've prayed for her for 46 years. If the only purpose of my life and my relationship with her is to pray for her, then I accept it. I've given her to the Lord. I told her one day, I'd rather tell you the truth than have you go off a cliff. If I never see you again, I'd rather tell you the truth than have not tell you the truth. And so, but anyway, she actually hugged me on her own the other day, so that was a victory. But I've given her to the Lord. You know, it's a done deal. When you pray for somebody 46 years and they're 30 years old, hey, God has already mapped out their life. I said, Lord, give me a little granddaughter that's created for your praise. And God's working in her now. For after a tragic accident, her husband was killed 2 years ago when his jet pilot crashed, crashed in the ocean south of Japan. And that's just been devastating to her. But now she's working with the Wingman Foundation, and some wife loses her husband. They always give my granddaughter the names of these wives who've lost their husbands, and she ministers to them. So praise God. God's working. You know, He can work through suffering. You know, it's almost like God's in control. He loves them more than you do. And we just got to let go of everything. Everything that troubles you, you got to let go of it.
Yes.
Bitter judgments are perhaps the most powerful negative force in our life, bringing destruction not only to us, but everybody around us. Bitter judgments do destroy marriages. And I believe that's the number one reason that marriages are destroyed, because the wife thinks she's living with a turkey and the husband thinks he's living with a turkey. Instead of seeing their self. I was teaching a seminar, and a woman drug her husband forward, and he was madder than a hornet. She drug him forward, and I said, how can I pray for you? And they were telling me something, and I said to him, I said, what is it you can't stand about your wife? He went, she's controlling. I said, well, was your mother or daddy controlling? He went, my mother. And then I asked her, I said, and I led him to forgive his mother. I said, what is it you don't like about your husband? She said, he's irresponsible and he lies. And I said, well, was your daddy irresponsible? Did he lie? She said, yeah. Anyway, they repented and walked off holding hands. And see, hindsight to me, instead of trying to tell your mate what he needs to do to make you happy, go in your prayer closet and say, how... this man is irritating me. How does this tie in with my childhood? Deal with it, and then it's not even an issue anymore. The reason it's bothering you is because there's hurt down in your heart from your childhood. Do you see that? And so, a bitter judgment destroys marriages. It affects us on our jobs because we think our boss is treating us the same way as our mother and daddy did. Your boss is mirroring something you haven't forgiven your mother and father for. In the church, you blame the pastor, and it really goes back to mother and daddy issues. The pastor ignores me. Well, so did your mother and daddy. The pastor don't appreciate me. Well, neither did your mother and daddy. You know, if you're appreciated as a child and your parents listen to you and you're appreciated, it's not even an issue if you don't pay attention to you. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. To defile means to contaminate, to sully. It would be like if you had a basket of white wet towels and you threw a black sock on top, that black sock would stain into the white towels and it would contaminate or defile the white towels. And so God says, see to it that no root of bitterness takes over. You know, there's a throne of grace we can go to. At the throne of grace, you get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. But if we don't go to the throne of grace, we come short of the grace of God and receive a root of bitterness. So that's why bitterness comes in when you have a poor concept of God. Instead of going to God, you think, well, it's no use going. He's like, That is like mother. You don't go, and then you become a fainter, and you become a bitter. So, you know, bitter or better, you can choose when you go through something. Take it to God and forgive it. Forgive. Oh, dear. This thing popped loose. Just bear with me. I've lost my place. There it is. So you'll get bitter or you're better depending on going to the throne of grace and dealing with things. God uses everything to work for your good so that you can be conformed in the image of Christ. What are bitter root judgments? They're your sin. They're our sin. They're not the bad things that happen to us, nor are they the sins of the people that do bad things to us. They're our own personal sin because we've responded incorrectly. The correct response to hurt is to take it to God and forgive Him by sundown. If not, you come short of the grace of God and you receive a root of bitterness. And bitterness, you've all heard this. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. Bitter judgments are our refusal or inability to forgive. And if you're living in torment, it's because you've got to forgive. Bitter judgments are operations of the unchangeable law of God that causes us to reap in kind what we've sown. They have the power to defile many and ourselves, causing us to drink poison. Bitterroot judgments are not, I already said that, not the sinful things that happen to us. They're not powerful enough to override our free will. Bitterroot judgments infect the minds with expectations. Example, if I grew up with a controlling parent, then I have an expectation. Or say I grew up with a controlling mother, then I have an expectation that all women are controlling. And so that's why sometimes men, if a man lets his wife control him, I can guarantee you he grew up being controlled. A bitter root expectation is a psychological practice in our nature. They are a habit of self-fulfilled prophecy, whereby I expect that other person. It's like I expect, if I grew up controlled, I have an expectation I'm going to be controlled. If you grew up, your parent always not wanting the best for you, then what happens is that sets you up for the same thing to happen in your present circumstances. You know, we don't realize that what we go through in our present circumstances are a rerun of our childhood in some way. And so we have to go to God and ask Him to help us identify how this that I'm going through fits how I grew up. And then you take it to the cross, you deal with it, you forgive, and you deal with it. But a bitterroot expectation will cause you to push that person, unconsciously push that person to do that bad thing that fulfills your picture of how life goes. Like if your daddy was there or not there, say you didn't grow up with a daddy, unconsciously, you get married and you're pushing that person out of your life and without even realizing it. That's not to justify what they do, to say that what they do is right. But these expectations push that other person to do that bad thing that fulfills my picture of how life goes. Some examples. Say I have an irresponsible dad. Then my impression of men is that they're irresponsible. And you'll either marry somebody that's irresponsible or you'll be like your parent. You'll either be like your parent or you'll marry someone like your parent. Say, you know, you grew up and your daddy's perverted. I heard a woman say one day, all men are perverted because her daddy was a molester. See what a lie that is? And I happen to know her husband and her children, and they're not perverted. But that was in her mind, and it's almost like you're pushing that person to do that bad thing. Say you were abandoned by your daddy or mother. Your expectation is that everybody's going to abandon you, and guess what? The judgment causes you to keep on reaping. Everybody dumps you. say your parents, you have a critical parent or a critical father. Well, your expectation is fathers are critical. Are they too hard? Are they drunk? Are they out of their mind? Are they're there, but they're not there? Many wives that are complaining their husbands for not giving them no attention, or husband's there, but he's not there. He never pays attention to them. That's a daddy issue. And when you deal with it, you won't even care if he pays attention to you or not. You know, God tells parents, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Train up your children in the way they should not go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. How you're trained up sets a default, like a default on a computer. You know, you can change the computer. There's like about 300 different fonts. You can type a letter, use any of those fonts, and the minute you do another letter, it kicks it back to the way the factory trained it. So how, if you're saying, this always happens to me, it always happens, it's a default that was set by negative training up, and you can break those defaults by going back and forgiving, and God resets that default. Glory to God. Praise God that a relationship with the Lord can make a difference in our lives when nothing else can. I had a lady the other day tell me, she said, all of my clients use me. She said, everybody uses me, and then that I spend all this time with my clients. She's in real estate. I spend all my time with these clients, and then they end up not going through the deal. And I said, how about your mother? She said, she always used me too. See how, and that's why she was always angry, like a firecracker going off. God says if we practice anger, we're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven. How about your parent being perverted? How about having to be the mama and the daddy? Some of you had to be the mama and the daddy growing up because mother and daddy were irresponsible. And it can be the cause of back problems. I'll give you an example. Sometimes I tell some of the same stories because I have different people that haven't heard it. But another thing is I can't think of a better example, even though there's been hundreds of them. Anyway, a lady called me one day and she said, I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. Do you have any insight? And I said, well, when you grew up, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on the hip? In other words, did you have to be the mother? And she said, yeah. And I said, now that you're a pastor, you're having to carry the whole congregation because, see, it set a default. I carry people. I'm trained up to carry somebody. So now I'm a pastor and I'm carrying the whole congregation. And she said, you don't even have to pray for me. I'm already healed. You see, the truth set her free.
Yes.
In physics, there's a natural law that says for every action, there has to be an equal or opposite reaction. In chemistry and algebra, it says for every equation, every formula must balance. There's a law of aerodynamics that said when a plane, plane leaves the law of gravity, it feels like if you've ever flown in a plane, like every screw is fixing to fall out of that plane. The law of gravity is pulling so hard on that plane. But then it gets a certain level, and then another law takes over, which is the law of aerodynamics that pulls the plane upward. And then the law of gravity, you know, we're subjected to these laws whether we agree with them or not. If you don't believe the law of gravity, jump off a building and see if you don't hit the ground. And so Proverbs 12:14 says, a man will be satisfied by good, by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. This is the law of sowing and reaping. And it's a deed. When I let the sun go down on my anger, that deed is going to return to me. Because when I let the sun go down on my anger, if you don't go to God, you're turning to something else. It maybe say you're mad at Nellie. And I don't know how anybody can be mad at Nellie, but say you get mad at Nellie, and you think, well, you know, Nellie hurt me, and she hasn't hurt me. I'm just giving her as an example. And I think, I'm just not going to talk to her anymore. Next time I see her, I'm just going to ignore her. Did I just turn to two false gods right there? Right? If I didn't go to God and forgive Nellie, I turned to something else. Matthew 7:12 says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Galatians 6:7 says, whatever, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for what a man sows, he will also reap. The fundamental laws of God are written on our hearts, written into the universe. And they affect our lives surely as the law of gravity affects our lives. And when we transgress the laws of God, we set in motion forces that have to be reaped. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow with a view to righteousness." And so that means in people's lives, instead of criticizing your husband or your mate or your children, start speaking the word of God over them, because God's word will not return void. When you bless somebody, the grace of God is imparted to that person to carry out what you blessed. If you curse somebody, criticize somebody, then the demons are drawn to that person to carry out what you curse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It says, "Sow with a view to righteousness." That means what you want in somebody's life, speak the word of God over their life, and that's not going to return void. So whatever we do in life, let's sow with a view to good fruit coming up. In other words, with a view to righteousness. I'm going to sow things that are going to produce righteousness in people's lives and in my life and blessings in my life. A few years ago, God convicted me. I had taught a message here on the power of blessing, and I begin to bless people wherever I go. And I tell you, I am so blessed. The more you bless other people, the more you're going to be blessed. And I mean just saying the word, I'm so blessed. I bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, wherever you go, I bless you. Because that's going to come back to you. And the song that I think one of my favorite songs that Jane leads us to sing is "Thank You, Thank You. I'll never get over the life you've given me. And I want to thank you forever." When I sing that song, I think God has given me the most awesome life. And I'm so grateful. The man that wrote that song had to feel, I mean, I feel what he wrote. And sometimes people have leg and feet problems because they're bitter toward the path they've had to be on. It says, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he rains righteousness on you. So keep on sowing good till he rains righteousness, until righteousness is produced in your spiritual garden." In our sinful responses to wounding, we begin to develop patterns of behavior that cause us to reap in adulthood the very thing that we hate. Things you promised you'd never, you know, I made a vow, I don't ever want to look like my mother, and I look in the mirror and I'm looking right at her sometimes. And so we sow and reap in kind, we judge, and we do the same. We honor, dishonor, and whatever area we honor and dishonor, life's not going to go well for us. The pain we reap often seems out of proportion to the harm we've caused. But the scripture teaches that there's the law of increase. You plant a grain of corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You get more than you plant, later than you plant, and the same thing you plant. That's why if you can't deal with your circumstances now, you go get another husband, another set of circumstances. And let me tell you something, the law of increase says he's going to be worse than the last guy. Now, there may be some exceptions to the rule, but... And so discernment of all of our problems and everything that we go through, we need to take it to God and not try to handle it ourselves. You know, if you're a person, you know, I came out of a generation of people that are real good at hanging in there and letting the front end drag and trying to work it out in the human flesh. I had an arm for about a year and a half that was from climbing the fence. I kept climbing the fence and I kept injuring my arm thinking, well, I'm going to get better. But I kept on re-injuring the arm, and it's taken over about a year and a half. And I tell you, I had to look up all the scriptures on arm of the flesh and repent of them. And my arm is 95% well now. But it took a long time. And so discernment of all our problems is found in the law of God and in the word of God. You're never going to find the answers to your problems till you get in the Word of God and start looking. And did you ever ask yourself why you can't get in the Word of God? What's blocking you? What's stopping you? I can tell you, it's demons. I've already quoted Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor your father and mother that all may be well with you. So where is your life not going well? Did you honor your mother and father? Judging and reaping. Judge not lest you be judged. Matthew 7:12. Sowing and reaping. Galatians 5, 6, and 7. You're going to reap what you sow. And we do what we judge others for. Romans 12, 2:1 says, you become like who you judge. And these principles have, you know, you can add to these principles the law of increase. Hosea 8:7 says, for they sow to the wind and they reap a whirlwind. James 1:15 says, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and then when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Bad fruit comes from bad roots. Luke 6:43 and 46 says, For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor any other hand, any bad tree that produces good fruit. For each tree, and you're a tree, Psalms 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the place of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he's like a good tree planted along the riverbank. There's another scripture that says the trees of the field clap their hands. So we know trees can't clap their hands, so it's talking about us. It says, for each tree is known by its own fruit. And can I tell you, if you don't produce fruit for the Lord, you're not going to heaven. John 15 says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit is taken away and burned. It goes on to say, bear fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. So if we're not bearing fruit, we're not his disciples. The scripture says that disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So a disciple's a Christian. And honestly, the word of God teaches if you're not a disciple, you're not going to heaven. Disciples let God discipline them. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they, or pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what's good. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And so for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So here he's referring to treasure, which is your heart. Your spiritual garden is another way of saying it. There's things been planted there, so you have to look at the fruit growing in your garden, and you have to trace the fruit to the root. This is going on. I feel this way. I'm angry about this. This hurts me. My husband's doing this. My boss is doing this. I have to see, but I have to go down to the root of it, which is the foundation, what's been buried down in my heart, and take it to the cross. Listen to what you say and listen to what you think, because that's coming out of your treasure too. That's coming out of your spiritual garden. What a person expresses from the treasure of his heart, that's what's in his heart. And so for deliverance, we have to take it to the cross and deal with it at the cross. Ask God to show us the root of it. And we have to dig deep and lay foundations built on the rock, Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 6:47, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you what kind of man he is. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid foundations on the rock, and that's Jesus. And when a flood came, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But he who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundations. And the torrent burst against that house. Immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. So sowing and reaping for bitter roots and expectations usually has to do with parents and children and has to do with marital relationships, but it can apply in other relationships. And because we've all made judgments, we have to reap. We draw to ourselves, and others are drawn to us that are best able to fulfill that reaping process. Many people who get married, my husband used to tell me he should have married a little girl in a calico dress or something. One day he said, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I would have married you all over again. He went, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got all the material for this seminar? Not just him, though. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I had to not only deal with him, I had to deal with me. Years ago, after I was a widow, I say probably 10 years ago, I got this thing from eHarmony.com. You know, it was giving me a free test. And anyway, I thought, well, it'd be fun. I mean, I wasn't interested in anybody that would came up, but I thought it'd be fun taking the test. So I took the test. When it got through, those little things go around like this, like a pinball machine that said, I'm sorry, we can't find a match for you. And I wouldn't have wanted it anyway. And so, you know, many people, when they get married, they think, boy, did I ever make a mistake. And, you know, God didn't design marriage and your mates to make you comfortable and happy. He designed that beloved enemy to grind on you and trigger what's been buried down in your heart. And so if you can keep that in mind, it makes it a lot easier. Just go in your prayer closet and deal with God about the man or the woman, and then you'll get to where you'll change. You don't. They may or may not change, or it won't even be an issue anymore. And I have to do this too with my grandchildren or with my family. And as we take our judgments and our bitter judgments and our sins to the cross, we can have peaceful, happy relationships with not only in our marriage, but with everybody. And you can show that illustration. If a person knows the size and the weight of a ball and his hurling power, he can throw it against a wall and know with what momentum it's going to come back to him. Hope y'all can see that. You see, when he first throws it, it's a smaller ball, but then it gets bigger, and then it gets almost overwhelming. If it's not dealt with, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. The only thing that blocks that reaping is the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And so when I take the problems to the cross, then God takes care of it. And we all of us have made judgments, every last one of us, that we're going to reap. Okay, do the next one. Just say, when Bill and Sue get married, okay, the next one. They both have generational things coming down. Let me see if I can do this. This represents generational curses coming down. They both have judgments they've made that they're going to reap it right back. They get married. Each one of them have their root expectations that they expect life to go a certain way because of how they grew up. They both have things to bless the other one with. They both have judgments they've made. And they work against each other. And that's why there's so much strife in marriages, arguing and fighting. They're having strife. Okay, if they begin to deal with these judgments, and they deal with all their judgments, and they bring generational stuff, they deal with their judgments, and they begin to deal with these judgments, you see how that would heal a marriage? And the people I know that have practiced this have had happy marriages. Okay, do the last one there. Now, see, when two people get married, because of they both are drawn to each other, and people are drawn to each other that are best able to fulfill their reaping process, the seesaw's balanced. But and it's why it's good for husbands and wives to hear this, because they can keep it balanced by dealing with it. But if one deals with it and the other one doesn't, the one on the top jumps off. That's what happened in my relationship. My husband wouldn't deal with stuff. Not that I'm not saying it was all him. I mean, I was trying to do it. But he left me 3 times in 10 years. But he was an illegitimate child, and he used to tell me, I can't tell you the times he'd tell me I didn't love him. Because, you know, if you weren't loved as a child, you don't think anybody loves you. Nobody can ever convince you that you're loved. And even when my first husband left me, I never felt in love because I grew up never feeling in love today in my life because my mother and daddy loved me. And so what broke my heart the first time was he left for his secretary and left my two little boys. And that broke my heart because they didn't have a daddy. And so then I remarried, and my second husband left me 3 times in 10 years, and he was an illegitimate child. And I remember the day he left, I said, "Bob, the Lord showed me that because you're an illegitimate child," I said, "you've got wounding, you were prenatally wounded." And I said, that "you need to get that healed." He said, "Oh, Jerry, I don't believe any of that." And he died a year later. Anyway, so to keep it balanced, that's why it's good to have husbands and wives deal with bitterroot judgments. And praise God.
Amen.
And so if you have the fruit, you have the root. So you have to look at the crop and start digging up the judgments.
Yes.
And let the Holy Spirit do that. And trace the fruit to the root.
Right.
Amen? So stand up and let's ask the Lord, where is your life not going well? Father, in Jesus' name, and this is with relationships. If you're not married, this works with your kids, with your relationships, with your friends. It works with your boss. It'll work wherever there's authority. And, you know, I certainly don't approve of this because God says if no fornicator is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, you better have to repent. But this is why you see people that'll shack up for years and just get along great. And then they get married, and within a year or two, they're divorced. Why is that? It's because authority sets in. Husbands have to love their wives like Christ loved the church. Wives have to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And so mother and daddy issues kick in. And it's certainly not right, and I'm certainly not telling you that to approve, you know, shack up and you'll get along. I'm not saying that at all, because you'll go to hell. Did you know that about 60% of church members think nothing of shacking up? Okay, Lord, pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Where is my life not going well? And Lord, I just ask you to show me. And I ask you to let me trace this back to my childhood. Somehow, show me how it ties together. In Jesus' name. And then when you get through repenting, just sit down, but don't sit down until you're through. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for all the times I let the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for turning to promises I made myself, turning to false gods to protect my heart. Lord, I didn't know I could go to you as a little girl, but I come to you now. I come to your throne of grace. Lord, I've received a root of bitterness. I turn to false gods. I've been wounded in these areas. And I forgive my mother and father for everything you've shown me, Lord, as to why my life's not going well. Forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father by not forgiving them by sundown. Forgive me for making judgments on my parents. God has set me up for the very thing I hate, the very thing that I promised wasn't going to happen has happened. And Lord, I forgive my parents for not training me up in the way I should go. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive them for setting me at the factory by training me up in the way I should not go. And I ask you to break that default that's caused me to have all these things always happening to me. And Lord, I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between me and these judgments. I ask you to reset the default in Jesus' name. Forgive me for idolatry. I forgive my parents for wounding my heart, not training me up in the way I should go. In Jesus' name. I break the judgments I made. In Jesus' name. I break soul ties with my mother and father. I sever and cut every cord of control linking their soul and their human spirit to my soul and human spirit. Call back my soul and human spirit back from them. Send back their souls and spirits back to them. Exchange their image for the image of Christ. And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve. Everybody everybody be praying, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I ask you, Lord, I forgive all my forefathers. Forgive them for divorce. Forgive me for divorce. Forgive me for thinking grass is greener. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. In Jesus' name, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. In Jesus' name, I command spirits of fear, despondency, hurt, broken heart. I command you to go, wounded heart, broken heart. Spirits of trauma has to go. In the name of Jesus, I break those judgments. I break those bitter expectations that all men and women are just like my daddy. In Jesus' name, just like my mother. I break the curse. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command every lying spirit to go. In Jesus' name. Pray with me. Father, I forgive my mother and father for not loving me, not wanting me, not spending time with me. I forgive them for abandoning me, not protecting me, not talking to me. I forgive them for not listening to me. I forgive them for not giving me any attention. I forgive them for always being gone and always leaving and always working and never seeing them or even knowing them. Lord, forgive me for being bitter. I forgive my mother and father for being perverted, for drinking, for smoking, for womanizing. I forgive my parents for not being faithful to each other, not loving me. I forgive them for not valuing me, not appreciating me, not talking to me, not accepting me. I forgive them for not wanting me. I forgive them for giving me away. In Jesus' name. I forgive the people that raised me. In Jesus' name. I forgive my parents for never letting me talk, never listening to me. I forgive them for never giving me any attention, any personal attention. God, I forgive them for vexing my soul. I break the power of vexation. I break the power of pain. In Jesus' name, come out now. In Jesus' name. I break the power of all fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Come out now in Jesus' name. Bitterness and resentment, you have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear, trauma, panic, hysteria, come out now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Out in the name of Jesus. Root of bitterness, I break your power. All spirits, all lying spirits, all fainting spirits, come out. Every spirit of lies and lying and deception, all mind control, divination, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, torture, torment, come out. Tormenting spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, depression, despondency, come out now in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Mind control, witchcraft, Jezebel, come out. Every spirit that came into the lack of discipline, the lack of love, come out now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of abandonment, I break your power. Orphan spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. I break the power of hatred, variance, strife, rage, anger. Come out, fornication spirits, in Jesus' name. Every lie, unbelief, and doubt, you have to go now. Numbness, in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for building walls around my heart. I take down those walls, in Jesus' name. I break down every wall of hostility, in the name of Jesus. I tear down every stronghold. Strongholds of pride, strongholds of unforgiveness. I tear down strongholds of resentment. I tear down strongholds that keep them from believing in demons. I tear down strongholds that keep them from reading the Word of God. I tear down strongholds of contention and strife and argumentativeness and divorce. In Jesus' name, I tear down strongholds of panic. In the name of Jesus, I tear down strongholds of sickness, distress, disease, infection, infirmity, spirits of death. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I tear down strongholds of despondency in the name of Jesus, apathy, passivity. I tear down strongholds of listlessness and lethargy in the name of Jesus. I tear down strongholds of sexual perversion, lasciviousness, licentiousness, drunkenness. I tear down strongholds of mind control. In Jesus' name, I tear down strongholds of sorcery. Divination has to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of cursing your mate. I break the power of every spirit that causes, that would draw them to be cursed in Jesus' name. I break the power of it. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath and blow out. In Jesus' name, every spirit that came in through bitter judgments, I break every bitter judgment and I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Spirits of death. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for cursing me, speaking negative over me. I forgive my husband for all the words he spoke. I forgive my boss for what he's spoken in Jesus' name. I forgive my children in the name of Jesus. Go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. You have to leave now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Move, Lord, with your mighty Holy Spirit upon every life. I ask you, Father, that your glory will rest upon each person, that your Holy Spirit will be poured out upon every life. In Jesus' name. I bless them with hope. Lord, give them hope. In Jesus' name. Show them how to restore their homes and restore their marriages. Those that are married, show them how to cherish their husbands, Lord. Show them how to respect their husbands and honor their husbands in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I pray for your grace and mercy to go home and be different. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I've got a feeling a husband will jump through hoops if a wife just appreciates him. Amen? You know, I'm telling you this because I didn't appreciate, you know. It's no wonder I had two husbands leave me. Anyway, I tried. My son said, "Oh, Mom, you did the best you knew how." Yeah, I did. I will say that. I did the best I knew how, but that was pretty ignorant. So, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the food. We thank you for this camp. We thank you for every person that's here. Thank you for the truth that sets us free, Lord. Thank you for principles of how to live an overcoming life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.